Chapter 2.
We have to turn around, Nora says. Plot another course.
Whoa, no,
Huerto says, half laughing. He looks up at her, one half of his dark face burned underneath a mottled carpet of scars. Scars he claims to have earned with a different story each time he tells it. Lava, wampa, blaster fire. Got blitzed on Corellian rum and fell down on a hot camping stove.
Miss Susser!
Now that I'm home, I'm going by my married name again. Wexley.
Nora! You paid me to get you onto the surface of that planet!
He points out the window. There. Home. Or was once. The planet Akiva. Clouds swirling in lazy spirals over the jungles and mountains. Above it, two star destroyers hang there like swords above the surface.
More important, you ain't the only cargo I'm bringing in. I'm finishing this job.
They told us to turn around. This is a blockade.
And smugglers like me are very good at getting around those.
We need to get back to the Alliance.
She corrects herself. That's old thinking.
The New Republic. They need to know.
A third Star Destroyer suddenly cuts through space, appearing in line with the others.
You got family down there?
She offers a stiff nod.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm home.
This was always a risk. The Empire's been here on Akiva for years. Not like this, but they're here, and we're gonna have to deal with it.
He leans in and says,
You know why I call this ship the Moth?
I don't.
You ever try to catch a moth? Cup your hands, chase after it, catch it? White moth, brown moth, any moth at all? You can't do it. They always get away. Herky-jerky, up and down, left and right, like a puppet dancing on somebody's strings. That's me. That's this ship.
I still don't like it.
I don't like it either. But life is full of unlikable things. You want to see your family again? Then we're doing this. Now's the time, too. Looks like they're just getting set up. Might could be more on the way.
A half-mad gleam in his one good eye. His other, an implacable red lens, framed in an ill-fitting O-ring bolted to the scarred skin. He grins, then crooked teeth stretched wide. He actually likes this. Smugglers, she thinks. Well, she paid for the ticket. Time to take the ride. The long black table gleams with light shining up from it. A holographic schematic of the Vigilance's docking bay and surrounding environs. It incorporates a fresh droid scan and shows damage to two of the TIE fighters, not to mention the bodies of the stormtroopers. Those left there as a reminder to others what can happen when you tussle with rebels. The pilot of the Starhopper? Most definitely a rebel. Now the question, was this an attack? Did he know they were here? Or is this some confluence of events? Some crass coincidence that led to this intersection? That, a problem for later. The problem now is figuring out just where he went. Because, as she thought, the ship contained no body. Best she could figure, he rigged the proton torpedoes to blow. Before they did, however, he... What? She taps a button, goes back to the Starhopper schematic she pulled off the Imperial databases. There. A stern side door. Small, but enough to load small parcels of cargo in and out. Her new pilot friend ducked out the back. Would have been a considerable jump. Jedi? No, couldn't be. Only one of those out there. And zero chance the rebels would send their golden boy Skywalker. Back to the base schematic. She spins it, highlights the access ducts.
That's it. She pulls her comm.
Tothwyn, our pilot is in the ducts. I'll bet all my credits you'll find an open vent and...
We have a problem.
The problem is that you interrupted me.
She thinks, but does not say.
What is it?
We have a blockade runner.
Another terrorist?
Could be. Looks like a bog standard smuggler, though. Flying a small Corellian freighter and, let's see, an MK-4.
Dispatch the TIEs. Let them deal with it.
Of course, Admiral.
Everything feels like it's in slow motion. Nora sits, frozen in the navigator's chair, next to Orwerto Neucho, the Scarface smuggler. Flashes of light on his face. Green light from the incoming lasers. Orange light blooming from a TIE fighter meeting its untimely end. Outside, ahead of them, a swarm of TIEs like a cloud of insects. The horrible scream as they pass, vibrating the chair beneath her and the console gripped in her white-knuckled hands. In the moments when she blinks, she doesn't see darkness. She sees another battle unfolding.
It's a trap!
Comes Akbar's voice over the comm. The dread feeling as Imperial TIEs descend upon them like red jacket wasps from a rock-struck nest. The dark of space lighting up with a crackling beam of viridian light. That coming from the half-constructed Death Star. Just one more shovel full of dirt on the Alliance's grave as one of their own capital ships is gone. Erased in a pulse of light, lightning, and fire. The freighter dives toward the planet's surface, turning like a screw. The ship shuddering as laser fire scores its side. The shields won't hold forever. Owerto's yelling at her.
You need to handle the guns! Nora! The guns!
But she can't get up out of that chair. Her bloodless hands won't even leave the console. Her mouth is dry. Her underarms wet. Her heart is beating like a pulsar star before it goes dark.
We want you to fly with us,
Captain Antilles says. She objects, of course. She's been working for the Rebels for years now, since before the destruction of the first Death Star. But as a freighter pilot, carrying message droids or smuggling weapons, or just shuttling people from planet to planet and base to base.
And that doesn't change the kind of pilot you are, he says. You outran a Star Destroyer. You forced two TIE interceptors to crash into each other. You've always been a great pilot, and we need you now. For when General Solo gets those shield generators down.
He asks her again, is she in? Will she fly with the red and the gold?
Yes.
She says yes. Because, of course she does. How could she say otherwise?
Everything gone dizzy. Lights inside the cabin flashing. A rain of sparks from somewhere behind their chairs.
Here in the Moth, everything feels balanced on the head of a pin. Through the glass, the planet. The clouds coming closer. TIE fighters punching holes through them. Vapor swirling behind them. She stands up, hands shaking. Inside the bowels of the beast. Pipes and hissing steam. Skeletal beams and bundles of cord and conduit. The guts of the resurrected Death Star. The shields are down. This is their one chance. But the TIE fighters are everywhere. Coming up behind them, hawks nipping at their tail feathers. She knows where this goes. It means she's going to die. But that's how things get done. Gold Leader calms in. Lando's voice in her ear, and his Sullustan co-pilots just behind it. They tell her what to do, and again she thinks, this is it. This is how I die. She accelerates her fighter. The heat signature of the core goes left. She pulls her Y-wing right, and a handful of the TIEs break off and follow her deeper. Away from the Millennium Falcon. Away from the X-Wings. Laser fire frying her engines. Popping the top off her astromech. Smoke filling the cabin. The smell of ozone. I'm not a gunner, she says. I'm a pilot. Then she pulls Owerto out of his pilot's chair. He protests, but she gives him a look. A look she's practiced. A look where her face hardens like cooling steel. The look of a raptor before it takes your eyes.
The smuggler gives a barely perceptible nod,
and it's good that he does. Because as soon as she's down in the chair and grabbing the stick and throttle, she sees a pair of TIE fighters coming up fast from the front.
Her teeth clamp down so hard she thinks her jaw might break.
Lasers like demon fire score the sky ahead, coming right for them. She pulls back on the stick. The moth ceases its dive toward the planet's surface. The lasers just miss, passing under the hind end of the freighter, continuing on. They take out two of the TIE fighters that had been following close behind. And even as she continues hauling back on the stick, her stomach and her heart trading places, the blood roaring in her ears, she loop-de-loops the ship just in time to see the remaining two TIEs clip each other. Vertical wing panels smashing together, prying apart. Each of the short-range Imperial fighters suddenly spinning away, pirouetting wildly through space like a pair of Republic Day firecracker pinwheels.
"We got more incoming!"
Owerto hollers from somewhere behind her, and then she hears the gears of the Moth's twin cannons grinding as the turret spins into place and begins barking fire. Clouds whip past. The ship bangs and judders as it kicks a hole in the atmosphere.
"This is my home," she thinks.
Or was. She grew up on Akiva. More important, Nora then was like Nora now. She doesn't much care for people. She went off on her own a lot. Explored the wilds outside the capital city of Mira. The old temples. The cave systems. The rivers. The canyons. She knows those places. Every switchback. Every bend. Every nook and cranny. Again, she thinks, "This is my home." And with that mantra set to repeat, she stills her shaking hands and banks hard to starboard, corkscrewing the ship as laser fire blasts past. The planet's surface comes up fast. Too fast, but she tells herself that she knows what she's doing. Down there, the rise of lush hills and slick-faced cliffs give way to the canyon of Akar, a winding serpentine valley. And it's there she takes them off. Into the rain-forested channel. Drizzles speckling her view, streaking away. The wings of the freighter clip branches, tearing up a flurry of leaves as she jukes left and jerks right, making the moth one hell of a hard target to hit. Laser fire sears the canopy ahead. Then, a bank of fog. She pushes down on the stick, takes the freighter even lower. Here, the canyon is tighter. Trees stretching out like selfish hands, thrust up from rocky outcroppings. Nora deliberately clips these, again on the left, then on the right. The moth's turrets belt out cannon fire, and suddenly a TIE comes tumbling end over end like a flung boulder. She has to bank the ship hard to dodge it. It smashes into a tree, a belching fireball. The freighter shudders. More sparks. The cabin goes dark. Owerto.
"We've lost the turrets."
Nora thinks.
"We don't need them."
Because she knows what's coming. One of the oldest temple complexes. Abandoned, an artifact of architecture from a time long, long ago, when the Ahia Ko people dwelled here still. But before that, a cascading waterfall. A silver churn of water leaping over a cliff's edge. A cliff they call the Witch's Finger, for the way it looks like a bent and accusing digit. There's a space underneath that bridge of stone. A narrow channel. Too narrow, she thinks. But maybe not. Especially not with the turret gone.
Too late to do differently now.
She turns the freighter to its side. Ahead, the gap under the rock. Waterfall on one side, jagged cliff face on the other. Nora stills her breathing, opens her eyes wide. That mantra comes one last time, spoken aloud.
"This is my home."
The freighter passes through the channel. It shakes like an old drunk. What's left of the turret shears off, clangs away, spinning into the waterfall spray. But they're out. Clean. Alive. On the console, two blinking red blips.
TIE fighters. Behind them. Wait for it. Wait for it.
The air claps with a pair of explosions. The two blips flicker and are gone. Huerto hoots and claps his hands.
Ha ha ha! We're clear!
Damn right we are.
She turns the freighter and sets a course for the outskirts of Mira. Nils Tothwyn swallows hard and steps over the shattered glass and puddle of fizzing liquor. That from a ceremonial bottle of Lothalian currant wine. A wine so purple it's almost black. The puddle on the floor at first could be confused for a hole in the floor, in fact. Tothwyn rubs his hands together. He's nervous.
You haven't found him,
Ray Sloane says.
No.
And I saw that the smuggler ship is gone.
Gone, as in escaped.
She narrows her eyes.
I know what I meant.
Of course, Admiral.
The puddle bubbles. That bottle, given to her to celebrate her rise to the role of Admiral. Appropriate, then, that it was ceremonial. Because that's what became of her role, too. Her leadership was purely ceremony. For years, she'd been sidelined. Yes, given command of the Vigilance, but the Vigilance was itself given nothing close to a major role in the struggle against the rising rebellion. Paltry work. Patrols in the Outer Rim, mostly. Defense and escort of bureaucrats, moffs, dignitaries, ambassadors. It's what she gets. She made too many enemies early on. Sloane was always one to speak her mind. She didn't know her place, and it hurt her. But now, this is the time for second chances. She cuts the silence.
This is a bad time for chaos, Lieutenant. Out there, already two of our esteemed guests have arrived.
Moff Valko Pandion in the Star Destroyer Vanquish, and in the Ascent, one of the Galactic Empire's oldest strategists and tacticians, General Jillia Shale.
Soon the others will arrive. I cannot have this be a time that demonstrates my weakness. We cannot reveal an inability to control our own environment, because if that happens, it will prove particularly to Pandion that we cannot even control this meeting. And this meeting must be controlled.
Absolutely, Admiral. We will find the interloper.
No. I will lead the charge to find our unanticipated guest. You assemble a team. Go to the surface in advance of the meeting. Track the smuggler and freighter that evaded us, just to be sure it's not part of something bigger. This must go right. And if it goes wrong, I will hold you personally accountable.
What little color he has in his face drains.
As you wish, Admiral.
Steam rises like stirred specters off the surface of the moth. The rain has stopped, and now the sun is out, bright and hot. The air thick with humidity. Already Nora feels her hair, normally straight and silver as the waterfall they just passed under only an hour before, starting to curl at the edges. The hair snarling together. An odd thought. Have I brought a brush? Did she even bring the right clothes? What will Temin think of her? She hasn't seen her son in too long now. 3 standard years? At that, she winces.
You are one wild pilot,
Huerto says, coming around the side. He slaps the ship.
I'm man enough to admit that you maybe saved the moth's bacon out there.
She offers a terse smile.
Well, I had a good moment.
Flying like that isn't luck. It's skill. You're a rebel pilot, right?
Right.
Seems you're on the winning team, then.
Not yet,
she thinks. But all she says is...
One hopes.
They really gone? The Emperor? That... Machine Man Vader? Whole Death Star blown to little bitty bits all over again?
It was. I was there. I was inside it, actually.
He whistles low and slow.
Ha! That explains the fancy flying.
Maybe.
Congratulations! You're a hero! Must have been something!
It was something, all right.
Even now, thinking of it, a cold shiver ratchets up her spine, despite the oppressive heat. Others may have felt exhilarated during that battle. But for her, it lives on in her nightmares. Watching good pilots spiral into the surface of that massive base. Hearing their screams over the comm.
Your money,
she says abruptly. She pulls a small sack out of her duffel, tosses it to him.
10K on arrival, as promised. Thanks. Sorry about your ship.
I'll get it fixed up. Good luck with your family.
My son, mostly. I'm here to get him and get back out.
He arches an eyebrow over his one good eye.
That's gonna be some tricky business, what with the blockade. You figured a way off planet yet?
No. Are you offering?
Pay me the same and promise to fly the ship again if the chips are down, and you got yourself a deal.
She offers a hand. They shake on it.
Oh,
he adds as he walks away.
Welcome home, Nora Wexley.